Hello, all of you out there in Radioland. This is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope you stay glued to our website, kptz.org. Our website is more than just a way to listen to today's shows. For example, you can find the biographies of all of our hosts and DJs. You can look up calendar listings to see what's happening around town. You can even sample some of our earlier shows. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as a podcast. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as some earlier ones. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who's the builder behind the new ambitious development off of Cook Avenue? There are 72 new residential units going in there. That's a lot. And who are those nervous grandparents following that super energized toddler around Better Living Through Coffee the other morning? They badly needed that jolt of caffeine to keep up with him. And who are the women gossiping over vegetables at the co-op? You know, I think the little knit hats with ears are very cute on little children. Not so cute on adults. Oh, well, style. What can you do? Anyhow, Jefferson County is full of all sorts of fascinating characters. This show, Our Town, tries to profile some of the singular personalities who live here. But the show's only a half hour long, which is definitely not long enough to do justice to some of our fellow citizens. So it's a synopsis. We try to talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers, and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Mauricio Cisneros, who's the owner of the San Juan Taqueria, right at the turnoff for Cala Point. So welcome to the show, Mauricio.
Thank you.
Let's start at the very beginning. Are you a local boy born and bred in Jefferson County?
No.
No. So where did you come from?
I was born in Mexico, a small town in Michoacán State.
I see.
And I lived in Mexico City.
Mexico City is right. A huge city.
Exactly. Beautiful city, though. It has a lot to offer.
Yes, I've been there a couple of times. A while back, though. But it's millions of people now.
21 million?
21 million.
21 million people, I believe. I'm not sure, but...
You were there as a very young man.
The age of 14.
14.
Living with my aunt at the times. But living in the city taught me a lot, so I don't regret.
Like what? You got any examples of the wisdom you picked up?
Made me grow up fast. You know, that's one thing.
Yeah.
It taught me how to get around. Learn to be in the big city, wandering through the big avenues, the parks, the museums.
Yeah, gorgeous.
The whole thing was really good, yes. Very good experience.
How old were you when you left Mexico City?
I was 16 when I left Mexico City. Went back to my hometown for a little bit, and then I came to the States, to Vista, California, just for a few months, and then after that, Los Angeles.
That's another big city.
Right. That's why I moved away from there, because I didn't really like it that much. I still don't like Los Angeles that much. And I discovered the Northwest. Went to Scream, Washington, to be exact, June of 1970.
1977, you arrived in Squim.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
It was definitely smaller then.
Population 3,000. One small grocery store, one stoplight, the post office, and that was pretty much it.
Was it just luck that you ended up in Squim?
Yeah, it was by luck. We traveled north from California with this family that liked to work, picking fruits like cherries, whatever was in season, raspberries, strawberries. They have run out of work down in Oregon, so we went to the unemployment office, and they told us about Squim, a farm called Grace Marsh Farms were needing people to help pick the raspberries. So we came all the way to Squim. That's how we got there.
Huh.
Most of them stayed through the summer, and then after that, I liked it so much, I ended up staying till now. Wow. That was in 1977.
So obviously the harvest was done at some point, and jobs are probably hard to find then as they're hard to find now. What did you do first?
We picked berries for that season. It was like I say, around mid-June, and I picked berries through July, and then I stay working in the farm, pruning the raspberry bushes for the next season.
Did it turn into a full-time job then?
Yeah, pretty much, except for the winter, because what can you do in a farm unless they had animals, and they don't. It was just a raspberry farm. They had some fruit trees. So that was it at the time. That's all they had. We actually live in the farm. We didn't have to pay rent. You know, they gave us a free housing.
That's
so
good.
We didn't have to, all we had to pay for, it was our groceries.
Right.
Because everything else was paid for. Electricity, water, all utilities were taken care of.
That's good.
You know, so that was nice.
And how long did you stay doing that?
I worked at Grange Marsh Farms for 1977 till 1979.
Okay.
I actually left November of 1979.
And what happened then?
I started working at a Mexican restaurant in 1980. It was almost 1980 anyway. But it was the first Mexican restaurant in Squim. It was called La Hacienda. Very nice. The food was very good. That's when my whole restaurant adventure started. That's when it began.
Like most people, you probably did not begin as a manager. What did you do first?
No, of course not. Actually, I started being a busser.
Right.
But I got to do a little bit of everything, the dishwashing, janitor. But busing was what I got hired for.
Right.
And my boss and my manager, they saw potential in me. So they said, you learn very quickly to whatever chores we send to you. We want you to learn how to be a waiter. I said, no way. I can't. I barely speak English. I say, how can I wait tables? And they say, no, you can do it. So, yeah, first thing I did is become a waiter and then bartender. They actually sent me to bartending school in Seattle.
Really?
Out on Denny Way by the Space Needle.
Can you recall what you think was maybe the most exotic or weird drink they taught you to make at this bartending school?
Probably that most people nowadays won't remember. Like Harvey Wallbanger.
Oh, Harvey Wallbanger. Yeah, I remember the name. It was sort of yellow.
Yeah, it had Galliano in it.
Uh-huh.
They also like old fashions, which most people don't know what old fashions are right now. Sometimes at the restaurant, somebody will come in and they ask the waitresses, can you make me an old fashioned? They don't know what an old fashioned is. So it's like... And nowadays, you know, when I started bartending a little bit at my place, you know, a lot of the new drinks, I don't know what they are. So we trade
it. Yeah,
so.
Well, that's good. So you went to bartending school and you became then a
bartender.
Bartender. Mm-hmm. And this was still at La Hacienda.
La Hacienda. I worked at La Hacienda from 1980 till 86. And after that, I went to work at the Three Crafts restaurant, which was one of the best seafood places in Western Washington and the busiest restaurant.
Now, I've heard of that restaurant, but it doesn't exist anymore, right?
No. What happened was that restaurant was built on wetlands. So the lady that had it, she tried to sell it, but a lot of people stay away from it because if something happened to the restaurant, you could not rebuild it. She had two buyers, the Clallam tribe, which is the people that own the Seven Cedars Casino, or the state. And mm-hmm. the state ended up buying it and turning it. They turned that property back to its natural habitat. So there's no buildings there now.
So the restaurant is gone.
But it was a good restaurant to work at. The money was really good. It was so busy.
It was an upscale place.
The food was really good. Something totally different than what you see now around here. There's hardly any good seafood restaurants. They had everything from fresh steamed clams to Dungeness crab. They fillet their own fish fresh.
Wow.
And nowadays, that's
doesn't happen.
Only in the city.
Yeah. So where did you go from there?
From the Three Crafts restaurant, I went back to work at the restaurant that I used to work at, but it was something else. It was called El Cazador, another Mexican restaurant. And after El Cazador, then I decided to go and do my own thing. So I came with a friend of mine who was my partner. We decided to take over a restaurant downtown Port Hudson. They had been a seafood restaurant called the Half Shell. And then it was sort of like a French or Mediterranean restaurant called the Pavilion. And they went out of business. So we took that location and we turned it into what is now El Sarape Mexican restaurant.
And what year was that?
That was May 25th of 1991.
1991.
Right. And we had that from 91 till 2007. It's still there.
Yes. Why'd you decide to leave that location?
You know, things happen in your life. You
right.
know, I have been married for 20 years and my marriage had ended. So, you know, it's always the story. You have to divide the assets.
Yes.
So at the time, I also had the ice cream shop, the Nifty 50s sort of.
Okay. Happened.
And I also had a partner in that. So, but I was going to sell the one that sells first. So both businesses were for sale at the time, but El Sarape sold first, so then I didn't have to sell the soda fountain. So I stayed with that. And who bought El Sarape? Two of my employees, Ricardo and Cesar, end up buying it. They're still the owners of it. They've done well with it, except, you know, time goes by and you get tired of something and you move on.
Yeah. So that was 2007, right?
2007, yeah.
So you were still running the
ice cream shop,
Nifty 50s.
Yeah. We owned that from 1999 till the April of this year. So
okay.
I figured out it does like 19 years. I wanted to stay there for 20, but I guess.
Didn't quite.
No, it's a lot of work in the summer. You know, you just, and if you want to make some money, you have to work really hard yourself. And then we always go through the same thing every summer, trying to find good help. It's not easy in Port Hudson. It's not easy anywhere, but especially here. So.
Right. You're listening to Our Town on KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Maryam McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. We have a complex community here. There are all sorts of people working hard to make a good life for their families. Today, my guest is Mauricio Cisneros, a longtime restaurateur in the region. He's the current owner of the San Juan Taqueria. He was telling me of his earlier career, particularly the long years he owned El Sarape in downtown Port Townsend and also Nifty 50s. The San Juan Taqueria, you are not the first owner of that one.
No, a friend of mine and I were going to open that together to almost 3.5 years ago. But we get along really well as friends. But as partners, we have different, we look at things a little bit different. So we decided in order for us to stay friends, we couldn't be business partners. And it was the right decision. But then she got tired of it. So she called me up and she said, I think that if, you know, you should buy the business because we were going to do it together. So I'm offering it to you first. And so I took it. That was last year of October 2nd of last year.
Now, a lot of people around here associate the San Juan Taqueria out by Cala Point with the San Juan Taqueria on the corner
the
of
taco
F
truck,
Street.
Yeah.
The taco truck. Did you buy that too?
No, we had the option to buy it. We didn't want it. I know there was some money to be made there. Whoever has it right now, they do pretty well with it. But for us, it was just another headache because the help issue goes into play because that's exactly what happened to my friend, Lani. You know, she had a hard time finding people to work the taco truck and then the restaurant and also put extra stress in our cooks out of the taqueria in Cala Point because it's like they have to cook for two locations. And so your overhead goes up.
So the food is actually mainly cooked at the restaurant and then taken over to the truck?
Yeah, that's how it's done. You know, you cook it at the restaurant and you take it to the taco truck every day. It's the same routine.
Yeah.
So we looked at the option of taking it. It was more money with the truck, less money without. So we decided that we didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
I heard they do pretty well with it. The people, I know the people that own it. I mean, there's three couples. They bought it together. Friends of mine. And they come to the restaurant now because they close in the winter. So yeah, it's kind of funny. They come out there and but it's nice to see them. And I mean, I'm glad they're doing well.
Well, there is some sort of city regulation in Port Townsend that certain things have to close in the winter, like Dogs Afoot, for example.
Right.
It's only open certain months, and I guess the taco truck falls into that as
well. Yeah, I think that the regulation comes from the health department itself. Mm. That's how what I know, because the people that they're on the taco truck now have tried to stay open, but
No, that's too bad.
They say no.
Yeah.
And I have no idea as why they do that.
But, yeah, what the rules are.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you've been in the restaurant business a long time, and you touched briefly on one of the big issues for running your restaurant or any restaurant is getting good help. Mm-hmm. What strategies can you use? How do you find good people, and how do you keep them?
Well, I used to have very good luck with either finding friends that were willing to work part-time or some family members, you know, so it always helps.
Yeah.
But and once in a while, you hire a couple of nice, good employees, and you know, you treat them right, you pay them well so they can stay longer. But it used to be a lot nicer in the 80s, 90s, even in first part of 2000, your employees will stay with you for 3, 4, or 5 years. Now, I mean, you're lucky if they stay for a year. So, except for a couple of them, like I have a guy that works in the kitchen, and he used to work for me at El Sarape. He's the chef at the taqueria, and two of his brothers had worked also with me at El Sarape's. But it's difficult to get help right now. I mean, last week alone, I lost one prep cook. Dishwashers, they're very hard to find. Mm-hmm. You know, they come and work one day, and then they don't show up the next day, or they work 1 week, and then they don't even tell you they're quitting. So,
wow. That must be really stressful for you.
Well, it is very stressful.
You know, I know you have several children. Did any of them want to follow you into the restaurant business?
Oh, no. Not at all. All three of my kids, they all work in the restaurant. They all work at Nifty 50s during their high school years.
Right.
And to them, I mean, for that, I am very thankful that I had that, because for young people to get a job is very difficult. And so all of my kids, I hire them to work there. That's where they learn how to work. Though my middle daughter came back to work for me this summer at the taqueria, and she even noticed that. She said, "Daddy, this is crazy. What these people, they don't work. You know, they just stand around when there's things to do." She said, "When you taught me how to work, as soon as you saw us standing, you just say, hey, do this, do that. Get things done. You know, don't just sit around."
Yeah. So what did your three kids end up doing? What do they do now?
Well, one of my daughters is a housewife with five kids. She lives in Texas, and her husband works in construction. And my son works in the medical field in Kirkland. And then my middle daughter, this is her first year of nursing school. So she has a year and a half left. So before she has her degree, and that's what she wants to do, be a nurse.
You know, you talked a bit about the frustrations of some employees, but bottom line, I think you really like being in the restaurant business.
Oh, I love what I do. I feed off of people. I love nice customers. You know, it's what I've done since 1980. So, and to me, the social part is what I like a lot. And you get to know a lot of your customers. So your customers become your friends, and they even become part of your family. When I bought the taqueria, one of the things I like about out there was I had not seen a lot of the people that I used to see at El Sarape. And when we took that over, all of a sudden, it's like I start seeing everybody. And to me, that was like, wow, I'm liking this, you know.
Well, you know, the El Sarape location just screams visibility to the tourists. So you would think you get a lot of tourists there.
They do well in the summer.
Yeah. And the taqueria is not as easy for a tourist to locate, I think.
You get some tourists, but not as much as downtown. Basically, out there is mainly local clientele. And I have people that come that know that I opened that, that I took that over and screamed, that still remember me from the old days. They're willing to take the trip to come over and see me and say hi. And mainly in the summer, like I get group of ladies that come in from Scream. They do the garden tour.
Oh, yes.
And so they always come in like 20, 30 of them to have lunch. But mainly it's a local restaurant, yeah. You well, have to want to go there because we are off the beaten track.
Right.
Not right on the highways.
Yeah, yeah. You sort of have to know it's there.
Right.
I mean, there is a sign out on the road, but still. You know.
It's hardly, you can't see it that
no,
great. So we're going to have to change it.
Yeah, but obviously people do find it.
Oh, they find it, yeah.
You know, some restaurants in this region close down for a month or two in the winter because business isn't that good and everything. Are you planning on staying open year-round? Or?
Yeah, we stay open all year around. We close 3 days maybe, like we close July 4th, we close Thanksgiving, and we close Christmas.
Right.
And New Year's is a question mark because if it falls on a week, during the week, then we close. But if it's on a weekend, we stay open.
Yeah, so, a lot of people out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they need a place to go.
Right, exactly. All right. For as many years as you've been in the business, you've probably witnessed some remarkable catastrophes or near catastrophes. Have there been any memorable screw-ups?
In the restaurant,
in the
restaurant business?
Yeah.
Well, not really, you know, other than the dropping a tray full of drinks on a customer or a plate.
That happens.
But nothing big. Nothing big. In
well,
the 80s,
good.
You used being a bartender. In the 80s, yeah, you used to have to break up fights, you know, but you're still doing it now, I think, at some bars. You know?
Some, I guess.
Not all of them, but some of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the 80s, the drinking was a lot heavier. People drank more then because there was no liquor laws for drinking and driving. So in the 70s and 80s, every restaurant, every bar in Scream had a happy hour and it was always packed. They all were busy.
Huh.
And it wasn't until they changed the law for drinking and driving that changed. I remember in those days, if you got stopped and you were drinking, the cops took the keys away from you and gave you a ride home. Now they gave you a ride, but not home.
Not home, yeah, no, I don't think so.
they give you a ride somewhere else.
Yes,
so.
Well, your restaurant, I think, has a lot of family business, too.
Yes. You know. Well, you've been there for dinner.
Yes.
You and some other people, uh-huh. You were there that day?
Yeah.
Yes. So I don't know. You have to tell me what you think of it.
I love Mexican food.
Except
I have to be careful about mole. I told you the other day, I have a peanut allergy, so I can't go to that end of the menu. But there are many wonderful things I can have.
Yeah, mole has a lot of spices. So.
Yes, it does. But I understand if you can eat it, it...
People love it.
They love the
mole.
Yes. What do you think are the qualities that make for a good restaurant? Not necessarily just the type of food, but, you know, what are the underlying qualities that help attract customers?
Well, you know, customer service is one of them. If you can give people good service, good customer service, they're going to remember that. If you treat them nice every time they come, they're going to remember that. And, of course, the food, you know, has to be always consistent, the same. You know, if they like something, it has to be good. If it's good one time, it has to be good the next time. You can't keep changing it. Sure, you can put some specials and try new recipes and all of that. That goes well, too, but... And then you let the public decide whether you're going to keep it or not. Because if they buy it, you're going to keep it. If they don't buy it, then you try something different. But food, service, and atmosphere is the three things that I believe bring people back.
Mm-hmm.
If you can make them feel comfortable at your establishment, they're going to remember that. Where do I go to dinner tonight? Oh, let's go here. Let's go to Sirens. Let's go to... La Isla, you know, let's go to Alchemy.
Some restaurants I've been in, I go to a few times and it's great, and then I go to and it's not so great.
That's what I'm saying.
And I wonder sometimes, is it that they've changed the chef, or what has gone missing?
I think sometimes they have the main chef, and then they have what you call your servers in the kitchens, the ones that serve your plates. And depends on who's doing it at the time and who's there to supervise it, make sure that they're doing it right.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you hire a new one, then it takes them a little, even if they have experience, it takes them a little while to get used to it. So it's a process. And you're always changing. Your main chef almost is the one that stays with you most of the time, but you have to pay them really well for them to stay. But then the rest, they just come and go, constantly hiring them.
Obviously must treat your chef well, because you mentioned earlier that he worked with you at an earlier restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's working with you at the taqueria.
Well, you treat your employees right. You have to remember it's a hard job for them to do.
Yes.
So you have to treat them right. And nowadays, hardly anybody wants to work in the kitchen. Mexican people used to like to work in the kitchen. Now they rather do construction work and yard work than do the kitchen. When you work in the restaurant business, you're basically slaving yourself because no holidays.
It's sort of a 24/7 job, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah.
Well, you must have a little bit of free time. What do you tend to do?
Well, you have to make free time. Otherwise, you're going to go crazy. You have to make time to go on vacations. You have to make time to take 2 or 3 days and go somewhere. Whether it's summer, winter, fall, you have to take a moment to stop and think and say, hey, you know, I need a break.
Right. So do you have any breaks planned at the moment?
I'm planning to go to Mexico probably in January or February.
That'd be nice.
Right in the middle of winter to break it and to, you know.
I hear you. I feel the same way.
That way when I come back, you know, it already starts to get nicer around here and you already start getting busier. So then
Great.
It feels good.
I'm getting signals from the control room that we're about out of time.
Okay, that's good.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It really has been my pleasure. And I also want to thank my engineer and producer, John McPherson. He's the man in the glass booth. He will clean up our ramblings and make us sound brilliant.
Wow.
And I also want to thank Program Director Larry Stein, Board Chair Robert Ambrose, and Station Manager Kate Ingram. All three work really hard to make KPTZ into an incredible community radio station. I want to thank you, the listener. KPTZ is a community radio station. That means all of us here at the station are volunteers. We give our time to this community station because we all believe that Jefferson County needs a free local voice. Much of our programming is music, but some of it, like this show, is in a talk format. This particular show, Our Town, is designed to help you get to know some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. Today, we've been chatting with Mauricio Cisneros, who is the owner of the San Juan Taqueria, which is an excellent Mexican restaurant. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This has been actually a very nice experience. I was a little nervous about it, but thank you.
No, it's brilliant. Okay, we're signing off for today, but keep listening to KPTZ for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.